Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 38, question 103. What does God require in the fourth commandment? In the first place, God wills that the ministry of the gospel and schools be maintained, and that I, especially on the day of rest, diligently attend church to learn the word of God, to use the holy sacraments, to call publicly upon the Lord, and to give Christian alms. In the second place, that all the days of my life I rest from evil works, allow the Lord to work in me by his Spirit, and thus begin in this life the everlasting Sabbath. In that brief and summary question and answer, a great deal is contained. It approaches the fourth commandment from the standpoint of what it requires practically, but also it approaches it from the standpoint of what's the theology of the fourth commandment? What is the bigger meaning behind God's call on us to rest? And so you notice we're supposed to rest every day, not just the Sabbath day, but every day we're supposed to rest from evil works. There is no good time for sin. We're also supposed to allow the Lord to work in us by his Spirit. In other words, not to resist the working of the Holy Spirit, not to grieve the Holy Spirit with our indifference or casualness towards sanctification or holiness or worship, but instead to welcome and to do what we can to further the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And in this way, we begin to enjoy, already here in this life, something of the everlasting Sabbath. In other words, it's talking about heaven, when we enter into rest, when we rest from our labors in enjoyment of the unmitigated presence of God, when we're fully blessed in knowing and in seeing Christ after this life. And the wonderful thing about this question and answer in the Catechism is that we get to begin that. We don't get to have the fullness of it, but we get to begin that already here in this life. When the gospel gives us rest from sin, we're experiencing the beginning of heaven. And when we gather for corporate worship, we're receiving a foretaste. We're watching the trailer, so to speak, for what heavenly reality will be. And that's why these things go together. If we want to begin in this life the everlasting Sabbath, part of that is setting aside the day of rest for the worship of the Lord. You notice that they include the giving of Christian alms as part of the duty there, and that's based on 1 Corinthians 16:2. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Why was the command given that way? What is behind that, what's presupposed there, is that people were gathering on the first day of the week, and so that was the convenient time to be laying up the collection that was being taken for the poor saints at Jerusalem. And so you see how it all ties together, the gathering for worship, the generous contributions happening on the first day of the week, acknowledging the resurrection of Christ, enjoying the foretaste of the everlasting Sabbath. It all goes together, and that's what we're privileged to be doing here today.